Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Christy, and I'll be reading MRT for July 2, 2024. Midland GOP speaks on SCOTUS ruling by Trevor Haas, editorial director. The Supreme Court on Monday made history by ruling that former presidents have presumptive criminal immunity for official acts performed while in the White House. The decision stems from a charge that former President Donald Trump conspired to subvert results of the 2020 presidential election. The Supreme Court ruled 6-3 along ideological lines. James Beauchamp, chairman of the Midland County Republican Party, shared his insights. "They've certainly granted that there is some immunity for presidents in their official action," Beauchamp said of the Supreme Court. "It's a question of what the lower courts do with what's been remanded back. There's still a lot to come on that." While deciding on official acts, the Supreme Court left open whether immunity applies to unofficial acts. Justices sent this back down to the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, likely delaying the subversion case against Trump until after the November election. Beauchamp cautioned that while presidents are political, the justice system needs to stay independent. "What's a little concerning is that the office of the president, regardless of who it is a very political office," he said. "The president's motivations are very political, but you can't weaponize the justice system." Hopefully, the lower courts see that. Requests for comment from the Midland County Democratic Party were not returned. Prairie dog populations shrinking in West Texas by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Prairie dogs are not an unfamiliar sight in West Texas. However, according to Gina Seberg, an international consultant for prairie dogs since 2014, prairie dog populations are shrinking because of ongoing development with the Permian Basin. "They have been hammered pretty hard," Seberg said during a phone interview with the Reporter-Telegram. "As far as their digging, people don't like the fact that they tunnel underground. One of the arguments against is tunneling. However, they, prairie dogs, are a keystone species due to other species depending on them for their survival." Seberg also acknowledged that overall the prairie dog's population has diminished to 2% of what they, the animal species, formerly had. "Development squeezes them into little areas," she said. "For humane management solutions for the species," Seberg said, "landscape modification can be used for areas with prairie dogs. You can use different kinds of shrubberies, which are not ideal for them, so they move on," she said. "But relocation is the most effective and best tool." Prairie Dogs SIDS Charity, a group led by organizers Linda Watson, Daryl Hogue, and Seberg, has been relocating prairie dogs for many years, including in Texas parks such as Caprock Canyon State Park. "We work to humanely relocate wild prairie dogs from places where they are unwanted, being displaced or slated to be destroyed due to land development to both public and private protected lands, where they are wanted to conserve this keystone species," their mission statement reads. "The group has managed to reintroduce prairie dogs to certain areas where ranchers and farmers can potentially benefit from the species." Prairie dogs can help with fire suppression, Seberg said. "Sometimes farmers even use them for crop rotation due to their nitrogen-rich soil." Seberg says the first step in treating an area for prairie dogs is an observation period. "If you are there too much, they are not going to show themselves," she said. "The species is very masterful in colony creation. The use of water rig and little smidge of soap so that the animals start investigating the tunnel leakage. The soap we use causes a frothing effect where they can't see via the tunnel because the prismatic effect fools them. This is the part where the animals are captured and then treated for flea prevention." Overall, Seberg says that there are a few techniques that property owners can use to deter prairie dogs. "In a yard, use more rockery and put together a mix of things with different visual elements," she suggested. "Also, don't invite it. Baseball fields, golf fields are very tasty to prairie dogs." According to Midland Wildlife Animal Control, there are 6 different ways to get rid of prairie dogs. One is landscape modification. "If you use barriers such as small fences and place them around your field or garden, then the prairie dogs will be much more hesitant to set up a colony there due to poor visibility. Blocking lines of sight can make it very inconvenient and thus unlikely for these types of animals to want to live there," said the company's website. The company also mentioned that traps are a reliable method because prairie dogs are simply too fast and cautious for traps to have any real effect. Fences can be used, however. Fences are primarily used for blocking lines of sight as prairie dogs can still easily burrow under them. Poison is also extremely ineffective due to the size of a prairie dog colony. This will just attract worse animals while causing health problems, not to mention the odor, Midland Wildlife Animal Control said on their website. The introduction of natural predators, while not traditionally used, can prove effective for scaring off a colony. The last technique listed is tolerance. Simply leave the animals alone and ignore them, Midland Wildlife Animal Control said. There are definitely a few benefits to having prairie dogs around that can actually help you out in the long run. For one, their digging around can actually make the soil more fertile and allow some seeds to grow better. MDC hires Hickman Group to recruit retailers by Mella McEwen, oil editor. Attracting new retail and restaurant development was on the agenda at Monday's monthly meeting at the Midland Development Corporation. Board members unanimously approved a consulting services agreement with Hickman Group, LLC, to provide retail marketing, development, and developer engagement in order to maximize utilization of MDC-owned and city-owned land for retail development. MDC Executive Director Sarah Harris told board members Hickman is already helping make such introductions. She said some developers had a hard time imagining a location in Midland because they do not realize the population base from throughout the Permian Basin and southeast New Mexico that Midland can attract or the economic power the region has. Under the year-long $120,000 contract, Hickman will help identify retail and restaurant targets and, in partnership with MDC, draw up a target list of 24 such businesses, including contact information for outreach. Hickman will engage with retailers and restaurants and facilitate discussions and negotiations with targeted retailers and developers, actively promote the benefits of investing in Midland. The firm will also identify and foster partnership opportunities for property development. Building retail in downtown Midland will be a focus, and Hickman will engage with key downtown stakeholders and business owners on downtown revitalization efforts and explore innovative approaches to attract retailers to downtown Midland. During the year-long contract, Hickman must deliver a list of at least 24 retailers and restaurants, a target list of at least 10 developers, a retail recruitment plan, and a monthly recruitment update. Board members also approved a memorandum of understanding with Starfighter Space Texas, paying $237,000 for costs related to Starfighter's relocation to Midland International Air and Spaceport from Kennedy Spaceport in Florida. Already, the company has an F-104 and two engines at the airport. MDC Board Chairman Laura C. Sams told board members the previous agreement called for the repayment of the $237,000 of an economic development agreement that was not reached by the end of this year. Those negotiating the agreement feel the financial economic development agreement can be reached this month or next, he said. In other businesses, board members approved executive of certain master research and development agreement with the MITRE Corporation to provide research and development, systems engineering, and related advisory services necessary for the furtherance of commercial space and high-speed flight operations in the Permian Basin at a cost not to exceed $375,000. The board approved the execution of an interlocal agreement with the University of Texas Permian Basin to advertise and publicize the city of Midland and develop new and expanded businesses through the annual Midland Entrepreneurial Challenge. ISD lists courses exempt to no pass, no play rule. Midland Board approves UIL course exemptions. By Kesley Salinas, staff writer. The Midland ISD Board of Trustees voted 5-2 to approve the district's University Interscholastic League UIL course exemption list for 2024-2025 school year and its meeting last week. At its meeting last week, the courses listed allow students to be exempt. The courses listed allow students to be exempt from the no-pass, no-play rule for extracurricular activities. The no-pass, no-play rule comes from the Texas Education Code 33.081C, which states that a student who receives a grade lower than 70 at the 6 weeks grading period will be suspended from all extracurricular activities for at least 3 school weeks. The suspension is removed if the student's grade is a 70 or above after 3 weeks. The Texas Education Code allows districts to identify rigorous coursework to which students may request an exemption from the pass pass from the no pass, no play rule for a failing grade, said Wesley Torres, executive director of athletics. It is a standard practice of districts across the state to utilize this exemption to encourage students to take advanced courses while alleviating the fear of their eligibility being affected. The code states that advanced placement, international baccalaureate honors, or dual credit courses in English language arts, math, science, social studies, economics, or a language other than English can be listed on the exemption list approved by UIL. According to the superintendent, Stephanie Howard, the UIL began allowing districts to exempt students in higher level courses from being suspended in 1995. Torres said MISD implemented the UIL exemption course list in 2009. School districts are allowed to name courses exempt from the no pass, no play rule prior to the start of the school year. MISD regulations state that a student can request an exemption from the no pass, no play rule for a failing grade for a course identified in the approved UIL exemption list. Each student is only allowed to receive one exemption per course each school year, and they must request the exemption from the campus principal. If a student is assigned to a disciplinary alternative education program or has been expelled, the exemption may not be granted. Howard said that prior to the UIL exemption rule, students were electing not to take needed rigorous courses in their graduation plans because they were concerned of becoming ineligible to participate in extracurricular activities due to a failing grade. If a student was in a Calculus BC class and they had a tough 6 weeks, they'd elect not to take the course, Howard said. Instead, they would opt into a course without that risk. Brandon Hodges, District 5 trustee, said that although he appreciated that the classes listed were advanced courses, you either pass or you don't pass. He added that if a student isn't passing the course, they may not be ready for it. My job is to prepare students, Hodges said, and if they aren't able to pass the class, I'm not preparing them. District 1 trustee Michael Booker asked if a student involved in a course such as math models would be allowed to play if they failed a 6 weeks. Howard responded that the UIL provides criteria for courses that allow exemptions and math models was not one of them. Booker said that the exemption list was not fair to students who failed a course not on the list and still had to be suspended. I personally don't think that's right, Booker said. If the students in non-exempt courses can't pass a 6 weeks, they should still be able to play. Board Vice President Katie Joyner said she fully supported the UIL exemption list. I think it is imperative that we give our kids the opportunity to reach beyond what they believe they are capable of and not undermine their ability to play whatever extracurricular activity they are in for fear that they may fail, Joyner said. She added that she would rather a student risk taking a harder class that will challenge them than not to take higher level courses at all. I think this is a great addition to our policy and one that I fully support, Joyner said. I think it does both. It enhances academics and extracurriculars. Texas man dies while hiking at Grand Canyon, Associated Press. Grand Canyon National Park, Arizona. A Texas man had died while hiking at Grand Canyon National Park, authorities said Monday. Park officials identified the hiker as Scott Sims, 69, of Austin. They said Sims was trying to reach Phantom Ranch on Saturday for an overnight stay via the South Habib Trail. Park officials received a report around 7 p.m. about a semi-conscious hiker on the river trail about halfway between the Silver Bridge and Black Bridge near Phantom Ranch. They said the hiker became unresponsive shortly thereafter, and bystanders initiated CPR as 3 National Park Service paramedics responded from Phantom Ranch, but all attempts to resuscitate Sims were unsuccessful. Park officials said that during the summer, temperatures on exposed parts of the trail can reach over 120 degrees Fahrenheit in the shade. An investigation into the death being conducted by the National Park Service in coordination with the Coconino County Medical Examiner. Trash collection schedule adjusted for holiday, City of Midland. The City of Midland offices will be closed on Thursday, July 4th in observance of Independence Day. Below is the schedule for solid waste collection for the week of July 1st through the 5th, 2024. Solid waste collection, Monday, July 1st, Monday regular trash pickup, carts areas included. Tuesday, July 2nd, Tuesday regular trash pickup, cart areas included. Wednesday, July 3rd, Thursday regular trash pickup, cart areas included. Thursday, July 4th, closed in observance of the Independence Day holiday. Friday, July 5th, regular trash pickup, cart areas included. Citizens Collection Station Recycle, Monday, July 1st, closed. Tuesday, July 2nd, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wednesday, July 3rd, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday, July 4th, closed in observance of Independence Day holiday. Friday, July 5th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, July 6th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Landfill, Monday, July 1st, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesday, July 2nd, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday, July 3rd, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Thursday, July 4th, closed in observance of the Independence Day holiday. Friday, July 5th, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, July 6th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
This is Mikey, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, July 2nd, 2024. Hodges elected to GOP Executive Committee. Brandon Hodges in June was elected to serve on the Republican Party of Texas's State Republican Executive Committee. The Texas GOP elects one male and one female to serve for each state Senate district. Hodges will represent Senate District 31. Tisha Crow of Odessa also serves as a District 31 committee member. Hodges will ensure that the voices of the constituents in Senate District 31 are represented, a press release said. He will collaborate with Republican leaders across SD 31 to support grassroots initiatives and Republican candidates up and down the ballot. District 31 is the largest geographical area within the Texas GOP, covering the panhandle West Texas and as far south as Schleicher, the release said. Republican Kevin Sparks of Midland has served District 31 as a member of the state Senate since 2023. Hodges is also an elected member of the Midland ISD Board of Trustees, where he has represented District 5 since 2022. Saharan Dust Returns to Texas, by Gabriel Beechert, The Dallas Morning News. Saharan dust has made another trip across the Atlantic, and Texans are seeing the effects of it this week, weather officials say. The Saharan air layer is a body of dry, dusty air that forms over the Sahara Desert in the late spring, summer, and early fall, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Winds carry this mass thousands of miles across the Atlantic, and it occasionally reaches Texas. This dust can have a number of effects, such as hazy skies and colorful sunrises and sunsets, but also reduced air quality. The dust can be particularly unhealthy for children, older adults, and people with heart or lung issues. As of Monday morning, the dust is most concentrated in the Brownsville region, but much of the Texas coast is seeing an increase in the Saharan air layer, said Monty Oakes, a meteorologist for the National Weather Service in New Braunfels. The NWS reported a widespread haze in Corpus Christi on Monday morning that was likely due to the dust. The day's forecast changed from haze to decreasing clouds before 10:45 a.m., but the haze was still forecast for Monday night. San Antonio and Austin are expected to experience some haze Tuesday, according to the service. Weather officials at the NWS in Fort Worth, however, said there has not been much seen on the radar in terms of the dust. The bulk of the dust is expected to pass to the west of Dallas-Fort Worth, but there is still a chance the area might see some effects. There is a fair amount that, if it were to concentrate over the Dallas area, it might be more prominent tomorrow and then kind of waning again, Oakes said. So just one day where you might get some haze.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, July 2nd. Coach urges stoplight at fatal intersection. Irem Sanchez of Gorilla Heavy Hitters Boxing Gym, who trained all three Garcia boys involved in a two-vehicle crash June 26th in Gardendale, is urging that a stoplight be put at the intersection where the accident took place at Hollyhock Avenue and Cottonwood Road. Two boys, Arjun 11 and Axel Garcia, who had just turned 16, died as a result of the accident that also injured four people. Their mother, Angela Nicole Garcia, 41, of Gardendale, and Asen Garcia, brother to Arjun and Axel, are in a Lubbock hospital, Sanchez said Monday. A Texas Department of Public Safety news release said they suffered serious injuries. Angela Garcia is a teacher at Wilson and Young Middle School, Sanchez said. The preliminary information released by DPS said a 2023 Chevrolet 1500 driven by Ashley Daniel Hillen, 37, of Midland, was traveling west on Cottonwood Road toward the intersection of FM 554 and Cottonwood Road. A 2017 GMC Acadia driven by Elizabeth Lucille Ertel, 61, of Andrews, with the Garcias as passengers, was traveling north on FM 554 toward the same intersection, the DPS release stated. The Acadia proceeded through the stop intersection. The Chevrolet disregarded an official traffic control device and collided with the Acadia in the right-hand side, the release stated. Both vehicles came to rest at the northwest corner of the intersection in the field, the DPS release detailed. Sancha said Johnny Garcia, Angela's husband and the boy's father, was not in the accident. Hillen and Ertel had minor injuries. Sancha said the boys had been coming to his gym for 4 years. They were really good, respectful kids, amazing kids, he said. As a whole, he said, the family is amazing. They are always willing to help anybody at any time. They would take the shirt off their back and give it to you, Sanchez said. When he heard about the accident, Sanchez, who was out of town at the time, said he was devastated and shocked. I didn't believe it, he added. The family has received a lot of support through a GoFundMe page. Sanchez said the family is grateful to everybody who has helped out. Odessa's always come together no matter what, and always support families in need like this situation with all their prayers and financially. Everybody's been real supportive, he added. RRC commissioners request endangered species listing challenge. Despite numerous concerns relayed by Texas, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has listed the Dunes Sagebrush Lizard, DSL, as an endangered species. The listing's impact on the most vital oil-producing region in the nation, the Permian Basin, could be devastating, and RRC commissioners are taking steps to prevent that, a news release said. At their recent open meeting, commissioners voted unanimously to request the Texas Attorney General's office challenge the ruling. The DSL's habitat is in the Permian Basin, which has more than 7,000 producing oil and gas fields in Texas. The endangered species listing will force operators to limit activities and could prohibit future development of energy operations. In comments submitted last year, the RRC pointed out the service's speculative conclusions that the DSL is at risk of extinction were based on outdated scientific studies that do not reflect modern oil and gas production technology. In addition, the RRC expressed concern the service did not base its determination utilizing actual populations of the DSL, but rather relied on habitat modeling. Also of great importance is the disregard of a major DSL conservation measure taken in Texas through a public-private partnership. Stakeholders, including state agencies, oil and gas operators, and landowners, launched the Texas Conservation Plan in West Texas, which significantly protects the lizards by establishing methods that prevent incidental destruction of DSL habitat during oil and gas operations. The Biden administration doubled down on their attack of the oil and gas industry with their latest Endangered Species Act action, RRC Chairman Christy Craddock said in the release. By ignoring the existing conservation plans made by state and industry leaders to protect potential dunes, sagebrush, lizard habitat, the administration makes it clear that this is nothing more than a political game. I am proud to push back against these unscientific and irresponsible regulations and appreciate the Office of Attorney General for supporting our efforts. This doesn't have a thing to do with saving lizards. It's about shutting down U.S. oil and gas production to win political brownie points, which will only increase inflation and jeopardize billions of lives globally, said RRC Commissioner Wayne Christian. It doesn't matter if it's a lizard, a chicken, a whale, or a unicorn. Radical environmentalists won't be satisfied until we all get our energy from firewood and are living in a cave again. To them, this is about ending fossil fuels to better humanity, which is ironic given fossil fuels allowed mankind to flourish by powering 80% of the globe's energy, manufacturing 96% of consumer products, and helping feed more than half the planet. Right now, the world needs more energy and more Texas oil and gas, and all this does is drive up prices and make it harder on consumers. Texas will certainly fight this most recent weaponization, which aims to shut down half the nation's crude oil production and one-third of its natural gas production, continued Christian. Texans can rest assured that the RRC and other state agencies won't lift a finger to help with this nonsense because the Texas Energy Independence Act prohibits state agencies from facilitating any effort that would undermine Texas oil and gas production. President Biden and his administration care more about reptiles and jungle fowl than they do about the energy needs of our nation, said Commissioner Jim Wright. If they cared half as much about single mothers struggling with rising inflation and higher energy bills as they care about this lizard, a lawsuit would not be necessary. Texas General Land Office monitoring multiple storms. Texas Land Commissioner Dr. Don Buckingham announced Monday that the Texas General Land Office is monitoring three active Atlantic systems with a possibility of impacting Texas. The Texas General Land Office stands ready to help Texans prepare for and recover from hurricanes and tropical storms, said Commissioner Buckingham. The GLO is monitoring the current storm systems in the Atlantic and will increase readiness procedures as needed in accordance with emergency preparedness plans. I urge all Texans to take the time now to prepare your evacuation kits and plan evacuation routes should the need arise. According to the National Hurricane Center, the eye of Hurricane Beryl made landfall in Curaçao Island at 11:10 a.m. Atlantic Standard Time. Data indicates that Beryl's maximum sustained winds have increased to 150 miles per hour. For weather watches, warnings, and advisories for Texas, visit https://alerts.weather.gov/cap/tx.php?x=1. The GLO encourages Texans to follow the following early warning preparedness tips. Monitor storm systems in the Atlantic and Gulf of Mexico. Watch local news and follow the Hurricane Center on Twitter and Facebook. Review your disaster evacuation checklist and have your go bag ready in case of evacuation. Know your available evacuation routes and review them with your family. Be sure to plan multiple routes and be ready for potential road closures. For additional safety tips related to storm surge, flooding, and other dangers, visit recovery.texas.gov/preparedness.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.